both in high school classes and the juvenile detention center. While he's become one of the most prominent writers in America for young people, it almost didn't turn out that way. Myers was raised in a poor foster home in Harlem in the 1940s, in a largely black neighborhood that he said really didn't foster literacy. His love of books, however, started from a really simple gesture, his mom reading him trashy romance novels.
I just enjoyed the interaction with my mom, you know. She turned me into a reader. So she began, I suppose, when I was about 3. By the time I was 5, I could read to her. She was not reading Shakespeare, but she was reading true romance. And the reading level of that was not that high, but she turned me into a reader.
It's interesting that you say your mom didn't read well. So by that, you mean she just wasn't reading at this particularly high level?
I would imagine that she read at about a third grade level. That was sufficient for me, the opportunity to spend time with my mom.
I've heard from, literature professors and bookish people again and again in recent years, maybe the level of YA fiction that some kids are reading isn't very high, but at least they're reading something. I've heard that again and again, just the words, at least they're reading something, as if in our culture, it's just remarkable to see children reading at all. I mean, do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. We're reading less and less, and what we are reading, the children are reading, is not that high a level. But what I'm concerned with is the functional ability to read. Can these children read well enough to get on with their lives? We need to have them to be able to fill out job applications, follow instructions, written instructions, whether they're medical instructions or what have you. But we need them to be able to function in our society. And, you know, let me tell you this. It's different now than when I grew up. When I grew up, if you could not read, you could get a job in a factory. You could get a job as a laborer. Those jobs don't exist anymore.
It seems like the tone of young adult literature is a lot darker than it used to be. I mean, you know, the last couple of years, books like The Hunger Games or Twilight or whatever. And even though it's a darker tone, it's not as high a level. Like, it seems like we're getting confused and thinking that because kids are reading things with slightly more adult themes, that they're, you know, reading better than before.
No, I agree with you there. You know, what's happening is that many of the books are written at a relatively low level, but high interest, low level, sensational interest. But I don't feel that that's the major problem. I think the major problem is so many kids who don't read at all, and they're coming out of even high school. I spoke to a group of teachers this morning who were high school and college teachers who were talking about college kids, college freshmen, needing remedial help. And that's really a problem, because if you look at American youth as our major asset and they're lacking in reading skills, you've got a problem.
Something that you've said is part of your mandate as the ambassador is that you would reach out specifically to children with poor backgrounds and reaching out to minority communities more. I mean, specifically when we're talking about people with poor backgrounds, you know, when parents have issues like not having enough money to pay rent and then not having enough money for good food and things like that, how do you then also make the pitch? Well, reading is important too. Reading is something that you have to distill in your kids when they have so many different issues that they have to deal with all the time in raising children.
We have a historical precedent. When blacks first came out of slavery, they had even more issues than they have now, than we have now. But what happened was that these parents in 1865, 1866, realized that one thing they could give to their children was the gift of reading. Reading is a gift. Reading well is a better gift. It's a gift that parents can give to their children. And they will if they can understand how to do it, and how to go about it.
Do you feel like as a kid growing up in Harlem, as a black kid growing up in Harlem, that you had a problem finding maybe models for Black writers when you were growing up? Like, did you have a problem finding people who were speaking specifically to the issues that you were facing as a kid?
Yes, I did. I did have problems because as a Black kid or as a poor kid, my life was never depicted in books. You went to pick up a book and find your life in there. You went to find some connection with your values and who you are. And I did not find that. And I think this is a problem today, basically because the marketplace, the bookstores and the films don't depict the lives of poor people, Black or white.
I mean, how do you remedy that? How do you go about trying to solve that imbalance, since it's something that has been going on pretty much eternally?
Actually, you know, it's getting better, I believe. I believe it's getting better because teachers are beginning to understand the problems, and teachers are selecting more of the books. The major market today for young adult literature are schools, and the schools recognize the population that they're teaching. They are also recognizing the need to be inclusive. When, as I speak to teachers across the country, I see them looking for books which include all aspects of American life.
I think one of my favorite quotations ever was somebody had asked David Foster Wallace, like, why should we read fiction? And he said, well, because it's about becoming a person. That's why fiction is valuable.
Fiction is so valuable because it's about, as Wallace said, it's about becoming a person. It gives you a voice. Many young people who are actually language impoverished, if you give them the right fiction, they can say, yes, that's how I feel. Yes, he said just what I would say. And now I understand it more.
I'd love to keep talking, but I know that you have other things to get to today. Walter Myers, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate this.
All right, thank you.
Walter Dean Myers was scheduled to appear at the Champaign Public Library tonight. However, because of the inclement weather, that event has been canceled. He's still expected to be here tomorrow for a meet and greet at the public library, and you can find all of those details on our website, will.illinois.edu. You're listening to The Afternoon Magazine on WILL.
WILL programming is made possible by Sinfonia de Camera, presenting Bach's St. Matthew Passion on Saturday, March 30th, beginning at 1 p.m. at Granert. Fred Stoltzfus, the U of I's choral music chair, conducts in his final collaboration with Sinfonia. More information is available at 333-6280.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 25th of March, 2013. It's the birthday of the writer who said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you odd." She said, "Where you come from is gone. Where you thought you were going to never was there. And where you are is no good unless you can get away from it." She didn't want a biography written about her because, she said, lives spent between the house and the chicken yard do not make exciting copy. Flannery O'Connor, born in Savannah, 1925. When she was 5 years old, she trained a chicken to walk backward, and a newsreel company came to her house to make a film about it, which was shown all over the country. She said, "I was just there to assist the chicken, but it was the high point in my life. Everything since has been anticlimax." Spent much of her life on the family farm in Milledgeville, Georgia, raising various birds, writing novels and short stories, Wise Blood, The Violent Bear It Away, A Good Man Is Hard to Find, and Everything That Rises Must Converge. This last book of short stories, published after her death in 1964 at the age of 39 from complications of lupus. Flannery O'Connor, who said, "Everywhere I go, I'm asked if I think the university stifles writers. My opinion is that they don't stifle enough of them." It's the birthday of the writer who said, "A woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle." That was Gloria Steinem, born in Toledo, Ohio, 1934. Her father, an entrepreneur, traveled all over the country in a trailer looking for new business ventures. Steinem said he was always going to make a movie or cut a record or start a new hotel or come up with a new orange drink. She traveled around with him, never went to school until her parents separated, and she moved in with her mother, who suffered a mental breakdown. Steinem said, "My mother was an invalid who lay in bed with eyes closed and lips moving in occasional response to voices only she could hear. A woman to whom I brought an endless stream of toast and coffee, bologna sandwiches, and dime pies." Gloria Steinem, who had poor grades in school, but she managed to get into Smith, based entirely on her entrance exams. After college, went to work as a journalist. She made her name with a piece called "I Was a Playboy Bunny" in 1963, about working undercover at Hugh Hefner's Playboy Club in Midtown Manhattan. Went on to found Ms. Magazine in 1972. Gloria Steinem, who said, "Writing is the only thing that when I do it, I don't feel I should be doing something else." And it's the birthday of Kate DiCamillo, born in Philadelphia in 1964, grew up in Florida. After college, moved to Minnesota. Her first winter in Minnesota was one of the coldest on record. She missed Florida terribly. She desperately wanted a dog, couldn't have one, and began writing a story about a stray dog that helps a 10-year-old girl adjust to life in a new town. It was her novel Because of Winn-Dixie. It was a bestseller when it came out in 2000. Here's a poem for today by Frederick Smock, entitled "Morning." All year long there is the table by the window, blue cups with white rims, the black teapot. There are sometimes flowers when we remember. There are paisley napkins and always oranges. The window looks down into a courtyard and sometimes up into